From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump says he's open to talks with North Korea at the appropriate time. He spoke with his South Korean counterpart, Moon Jae-in, by phone Wednesday, both men underscoring the importance of continuing maximum pressure on Pyongyang over its nuclear program. Later at a joint news conference, Mr. Trump said he was encouraged by Tuesday's first high-level inter-Korean talks in more than 2 years.
It's very much better having to do with North Korea, where we currently have a problem that should have never been my problem. This should have been a problem solved many years ago when it was much less dangerous, but it was given to me. We had a great talk this morning with President Moon, and I think that a lot of good things are happening. We're going to see what happens.
He spoke of the good energy coming from those talks in which the North agreed to take part in the Winter Olympics. South Korea said in that phone call Mr. Trump assured his counterpart there will be no military action while the talks continue. Ken Gause of the Center for Naval Analysis said any future U.S.-North Korea talks would only be possible if the U.S. drops its demand for denuclearization.
I think the only way that North Korea will come to the table, the negotiating table, is if there are no preconditions. That means the United States cannot put denuclearization as a precondition for talks. If they do, the North Koreans will not come to the table.
At Tuesday's talks, the North agreed to revive military discussions and reestablish a military hotline, but it refused to discuss its nuclear program, saying its weapons are only aimed at the U.S. Tunisian demonstrators were back on the streets late Wednesday to protest over economic conditions. The protests erupted Monday, leaving at least one dead, and took place just days before the seventh anniversary of the so-called Arab Spring Uprising that began in Tunisia. Dozens of police have been injured, and more than 200 people have been arrested. This is VOA News. Turkey has called on Russia and Iran to pressure Syria to halt its military offensive in northwest Idlib province. Turkey's foreign minister says Moscow and Tehran must fulfill their duties under a joint accord last year in which the three countries announced a de-escalation zone in Idlib. Trinity University history professor David Lesh said, meanwhile, despite recent claims of victory by Russia and Syria, significant pockets of resistance remain.
You have some outside of Damascus in the eastern Ghouta suburbs. You have a pocket outside of Homs and Rustan. You have significant pocket along the Jordanian border, and the largest one is in Idlib in the northwest, which borders Turkey.
Syrian forces, meanwhile, have pushed up to a key rebel-held airbase in Idlib. Israeli soldiers have set up roadblocks and deployed extra forces around Nablus and the occupied West Bank in a manhunt for the assailant who killed an Israeli motorist late Tuesday. A funeral for 35-year-old Rafael Shiva was held earlier Wednesday. Colombia's Marxist ELN has resumed its attacks following the expiration of a ceasefire agreement. Peace talks in Quito, Ecuador are stalemated in a bid to end more than half a century of fighting.
El gobierno nacional deplora la decisión del
President Juan Manuel Santos said his government deplores the decision to resume the attacks. He had hoped to extend the truce, which began in October. The government signed a peace deal with the larger Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, in late 2016 after 4 years of negotiations. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is due to visit Colombia on the weekend to support peace efforts. Ahead of Pope Francis's visits next week to Chile and Peru, the Vatican announced Wednesday it's taking over a Catholic society in Peru whose founder is accused of sexual and physical abuse. The founder, Luis Figari, is due to go on trial. He has denied any wrongdoing. Flash flooding and mudslides have killed at least 17 people and demolished a number of homes north of Los Angeles, where wildfires last month stripped many of the hills of trees and vegetation. Helen Murdoch is a resident of the community of Montecito.
I would say it's apocalyptic. I had no idea that the devastation was like this.
Most deaths are believed to have occurred in the Montecito community, where some neighborhood streets were turned into rivers of mud or blocked by huge logs and boulders. At least 24 people are still unaccounted for. The death toll from a cyclone that slammed into the eastern part of the Indian Ocean island nation of Madagascar has risen to at least 33, with nearly 24 missing. Tens of thousands have been displaced by floods, heavy rain, and high winds. All three major U.S. stock indices fell Wednesday after many days of a post-New Year rally. Investors concerned about reports China may slow its purchases of U.S. bonds and that President Donald Trump may end up scrapping the 25-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. Still, the benchmark Dow Jones lost just 16 points and remains well above 25,000. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa. From the Voice of America, I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, the 11th day of January, and here are some of the stories we are covering. DRC main opposition coalition denies it is holding up preparations for elections later this year.
They are saying that we need a transitional government without Mr. Kabila so that government can peacefully organize the election. Not any kind of election, but a credible and transparent election.
Martin Fayulu is a member of the main opposition coalition known as the Rassemblement. Burundi's government denies it arrested opposition members for opposing a constitutional amendment. Zimbabwe activists seek the truth about massacres in the 1980s. And a showdown today in Nigeria's Kaduna State over the dismissal of some 22,000 school teachers.
Citizens under the Nigerian constitution have freedom of protest, freedom to assemble, and we will exercise those freedoms, no matter what the governor of Kaduna State chooses to do.
Peter Ozo Ison is the Secretary General of the Nigeria Liberal Congress. All is calm in Ivory Coast, the second largest city of Bouake, following a rampage by some soldiers. And we'll show you some novel ways to keep your New Year fitness resolutions. Those stories, plus our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The main opposition coalition in the Democratic Republic of Congo denies it is holding up preparations for election later this year. The polls, which were supposed to take place at the end of last year, were pushed back to the end of 2018. This week, UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operation Jean-Pierre Lacroix told the General Assembly the refusal to compromise was delaying preparations for elections. Lacroix said the December 31st, 2016, political agreement has only been partially implemented. Martin Fayulu, a member of DRC's main opposition coalition, known as the Rassemblement, says the opposition wants an interim government that will peacefully organize the elections.
The spirit of the accord is that we have to go to the election and Kabila will not be a candidate and we cannot organize any referendum. That's the spirit of the accord. But now, Kabila managed to not implement that accord. And today, what we are saying that we need a transitional government without Mr. Kabila so that government can peacefully organize the election. Not any kind of election, but a credible and transparent election. That's what we are saying. Mr. Kabila is not willing to organize the election. He wants to stay. We cannot organize the election having Mr. Nanga and Mr. Basengezi as head of CENI. We cannot organize the election with the current electoral list that Mr. Nanga is preparing. We cannot organize the election with the electoral law they have issued in the parliament. We cannot organize the election having in mind that we have to use the voter machine. It's not possible.
Mr. Fayulu, do you understand why the Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operation, Mr. Jean-Pierre Lacroix, why he is saying that the refusal to compromise is delaying the preparation for election? Because you sound right now that you are not willing to compromise.
No, what we are saying that we are not naive. If someone is naive, he thinks that the guy has demonstrated by all means that he doesn't want the election.
The view you just expressed, and that is that you want the formation of an interim government, is that the view of the opposition? I mean, are you all in agreement about this particular view?
That's the view of the Rassemblement. If you read all communique, all statements we have released since July last year, you know, we started on July 22nd when we came out. After our meeting, our closed meeting, we said that, okay, we need a calendar, urgently, the calendar for this year. And the election should be held this year, as it said in the accord, on the latest December 2017. What we said. And then we said, if we don't have election on January 1st, 2018, Mr. Kabila will not be recognized as the president of Congo.
So you are saying that the Rassemblement will not go to elections in December 2018 as is being prepared by the Elections Commission?
No, what Kabila in his team, they are saying that they will hold election on December 23rd this year.
Martin Fayulu is a member of the main opposition coalition in the DRC, known as the Rassemblement. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kinshasa. Burundi's government denies it arrested opposition members for opposing a constitutional amendment. This comes after the country's main opposition leader accused the government of arbitrarily arresting opposition members. Moses Xavier Rimana reports from Bujumbura.
Burundi is expected to conduct a referendum to amend the country's constitution in May this year, after the country's president Pierre Nkurunziza launched sensitization campaigns countrywide. Opposition leader Agathon Rwasa and the deputy speaker of the parliament said that more than 20 supporters of his were arrested since last week. He said that his supporters were accused of campaigning against the amendment of the constitution.
Some supposed mission of people that they are against the constitutional referendum because we have never held a meeting. It is just a matter of terrorizing us and intimidating people. It is just simple allegations because they know we are opposed to that bill. So it is a harassment they are trying to do against us.
Burundi police spokesman Pierre Nkurikiye denied the arrest of citizens due to their political beliefs.
First, these people have been brought to justice. Second, when police arrest the people, it cannot arrest the people because of being in a political party. But the police can arrest the people when they are accused of offenses. So these ones have been arrested because they were making illegal and suspected meetings only for this, not for being in a political party.
Since 2015, when protests against the incumbent president Pierre Nkurunziza erupted, more than 1,000 people were killed, according to the United Nations. Burundi government was heavily criticized by the international community due to the violations of human rights in the country. Jean-Baptiste Baribonekeza is the chairman of the National Independent Human Rights Commission.
We also have, of course, the information. Some people might have detained because of their opinion against the constitution bill. But as I said, you cannot confirm. We don't expect all Burundians to agree with the text 100%.
Burundi last amended the constitution in 2005 when the incumbent president Pierre Nkurunziza took over the office. Critics say if the draft constitution is approved, it will pave way for the incumbent president to stay in the office until 2034. Moses Havyarimana, VOA Africa, Bujumbura.
Activists in southern Zimbabwe have gone to court to demand the truth about a series of massacres in the 1980s that targeted perceived opponents of then-President Robert Mugabe. An estimated 20,000 civilians were killed by North Korean-trained troops under the authority of current President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who was Minister of Security at the time. Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare.
In their application, the activists asked Zimbabwe's High Court to compel President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government to release the findings of a commission of inquiry on the massacres. Dumisani Dube, lawyer for the pressure group Ibechu Likazulu, is hopeful despite previous attempts which hit a brick wall. He says the situation has changed in Zimbabwe since 2013 when a new constitution was enacted.
In terms of the new constitution of Zimbabwe, Section 62, there's a constitutional provision on the right to access to information, which entitles any person the right to access information which is held by state in the interest of public accountability, fairness, human dignity, and justice. So we're very positive.
Ousted President Robert Mugabe is cited in the court application as it was his government which presided over the massacres between 1982 and 1987. The atrocities which rights groups say claimed about 20,000 lives, targeted members of the ethnic Debele population believed to support former Vice President Joshua Nkomo, then an opponent of Mugabe. They happened when Zimbabwe's current president was the Minister of Security. Lawyer Dube said he would serve the papers to the British Embassy in Harare for transmission to Theresa May's government in London. The pressure group wants the British government to release classified documents that might have details about the massacres. Asked to comment on the High Court application, Zimbabwe Justice Minister Ziyambe Ziyambe said,
"What is the application all about? I'm still interested."
In a sign of growing tensions over the massacres, recently the army detained and assaulted some protesters demonstrating against a visit by President Mnangagwa to the southern region. The 75-year-old Zimbabwean leader has yet to comment on the issue since coming to power in November in an army-backed takeover. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Thursday, the 11th day of January, and please send your comments and opinions to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 16 and a half minutes past the hour. The battle lines are drawn between the police in Nigeria's Kaduna state and protesters led by the Nigeria Labour Congress over the dismissal of some 22,000 school teachers. The Kaduna state government has guaranteed 9 years of free basic education in its public schools and wants only qualified teachers to teach the students. The police have warned they will deal decisively with any protesters because all forms of public protest are illegal in the state. But Peter Ozo Isong, the Secretary General of the Nigeria Labour Congress, says the protest will go on as planned because Nigeria's constitution guarantees all citizens the right to freely assemble and protest.
The governor of Kaduna State has embarked on policies that would cost workers, over 36,000 of them, their jobs. And we find this extremely disturbing. We have, therefore, the Nigerian Labour Congress took the decision that there would be rally and protest in Kaduna to register Nigerian workers' dissatisfaction with the actions of the state government and the state governor. We have heard of stories about the government saying that these rallies cannot take place. Citizens under the Nigerian constitution have freedom of protest, freedom to assemble, and we will exercise those freedoms. No matter what the governor of Kaduna State chooses to do,
the Kaduna state government has touted, it's very proud, what it call its endeavor to improve the learning environment in Kaduna. And therefore, it would like for qualified teachers to be able to teach students in Kaduna, assuming that probably some of these teachers that have been dismissed are not qualified.
That is just a gimmick, because what has happened is that he has used the issue of competency tests, which was conducted by uncertified government officials. In Nigeria, there is a Teachers Registration Council. And if you want to test the competency of teachers, it is that, but that is by law, has the right to so do. This Teachers Registration Council was not involved in this process. They went ahead and did what they did. They pasted results online that are fake. Some of the people they claim sat those exams are dead. Some are people who have retired in the past. So all that he has done is to just use the gimmick of a teacher's competency test to do what he already has decided. He has already earmarked that 21,000 teachers have to be sacked. We are committed to quality education and teachers who are qualified, but there are institutionalized processes of such certification, and he has not followed that. Rufai is looking for a figure of staff that he would terminate, remove from his payroll, as part of the process of the conditionality of his getting a World Bank loan. And all this he's saying are just lies and gimmicks just to deceive the public.
The police chief says that people like your organization, the Nigerian Labour Congress, is coming to Kaduna to foment trouble because they say that it's illegal to protest in Kaduna.
The supreme law of Nigeria is the Nigerian Constitution, which guarantees us that right. The right to freely assemble, the right to freely protest, and we are going to exercise those rights. This is a matter that is already settled. The Supreme Court of Nigeria ruled that police or nobody has right to take away the freedom of the citizen guaranteed under the Constitution to freely protest. And so we do not require a police permit. We have already formally informed the Nigeria police that we are carrying out these protests. All we are required to do is to so inform, not a permission. The police does not need to give us a permit because it is our fundamental right guaranteed under the Nigerian Constitution. No RFI, no police, no government, even under the military. We refuse to be cowed, and we, Nigerian workers, will not be cowed.
Peter Ozo Ison is the Secretary General of the Nigeria Liberal Congress. He was speaking with me from the capital, Abuja. All is set to be calm in Ivory Coast, the second largest city of Bouake, following a rampage by some soldiers this week. The soldiers had accused an elite unit of the army known as the CCDO of spying on them. Jean-Gervais Tchéidé, a member of the Ivorian Popular Front Party of former President Laurent Gbagbo, says the situation in Bouake was calm late Wednesday.
What I know is that there was 4 days now, some soldiers are very, very angry about one situation. One officer of the army, of a special branch of the army, this branch is called CCDO. It is a kind of special police for gang, for criminals and so on. So the branch of Bouake has an officer who is in problem with one of the military, whose girlfriend seems to have been with that officer. This is the beginning of the situation, from what I know. But the situation broke out when they started shooting in the air, saying that this officer must be removed from Bouake because he's creating problems to the army, to the regular soldiers, and so they don't want him in Bouake. This is the beginning. But 2 or 3 days now, they have been fighting against their camp. And some people say that there are 4 persons dead. So it is a fighting between soldiers in Bouake. Bouake is the second town of Cote d'Ivoire. That is what I know. Now, today, I called somebody there, and he says that the situation has become calm, but it is not finished yet. So we are waiting for the government to intervene and tell us whether the situation is under control.
Mr. Tchéidé, as you know, Bouake was the same city where these soldiers went on a mutiny, demanding payment of bonuses. To what degree do you think there's still some dissatisfaction among the soldiers about the bonuses?
For the time being, I cannot say whether it is about the bonuses, but what I heard from residents of Bouake is that the beginning of the situation, what I told you. But now, since yesterday, they've been claiming money of bonuses for 12 million sepa, which is about how much, I don't know, in dollars. But it is always in Bouake that situation starts very, very difficult for the population. So everybody is very, very tired with this situation because soldiers shooting in the air, disturbing people, and creating an atmosphere of fear. And this is unbearable. It is not possible to live in that situation. So we are waiting. We are expecting the government to take strict measures to put an end to that situation because it cannot continue. It is not possible to continue on this way.
Politically, how are you guys doing? What's happening now in Cote d'Ivoire?
Well, the situation is that the government has announced that there will be local elections this year, 2018. So we are waiting for the government to reform the National Electoral Commission because this commission is under control of the government. So as an opposition party, we are all calling the government on discussion so that we can set up a new commission which can hold elections which can be clear and non-contestable.
So does that mean the opposition will participate in this election? Because the last time the opposition did not, or your party did not participate.
As far as we are concerned, if there's no move in terms of improving the composition of this commission, there's no reason why we should participate, because we know already the result before we start. And we are going to struggle to fight and to call everybody to tell the government to settle discussions. But if that is not the case, we will not participate.
Jean-Gilbert Chaide is a member of the Ivorian Popular Front Party, a former President Laurent Gbagbo. He was speaking with me from the capital, Abidjan. One of the most common New Year's resolutions is to lose weight and get fit. Fifth Lapidus takes a look at how some people are trying to keep that commitment.
There are gyms around the world, all offering a range of exercise equipment and fitness classes. This high-intensity gym in Karachi is helping its members work off the stresses of city life. In Los Angeles, those looking for something a bit more exotic are turning to Bollywood.
North India's got a dance called Bhangra, which is really all the rage right now. And you're seeing it everywhere, and it's probably the most fun dance that you can do.
Boxing is not as graceful, but it still gets your pulse racing, especially when it's done to music. Playing football instead of watching it on TV can make you a winner. Not in points gained, but in pounds lost. The Londoners and the Man vs. Fat Project set up the club in 2016. They felt there weren't enough fat loss schemes aimed specifically at men.
Most of the men are losing 5%. Many of the men are also losing 10% of their starting body weight. And a lot of that comes down to the peer support that they get from the other men and from their coach.
The centuries-old practice of yoga is gaining popularity as a path toward fitness.
And seek to understand it in relationship to the practice as it evolves.
And the practice has evolved in some surprising ways. There's yoga, and then there's laughing yoga.
Endorphins in the body help fight what makes us sick. They give us happiness. With every belly laugh, you lose 3.5 calories. And it's like Botox for the girls.
And, wait for it, there's goat yoga.
Goat yoga is a combination of a very serious meditation with the yoga and then a very not-so-serious meditation with the playful antics of the goat kids. It keeps it real. It keeps you in the moment.
If none of those are for you, you can pick a different resolution next New Year's. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The main opposition coalition in the Democratic Republic of Congo denies it is holding up preparations for elections later this year. The polls, which were supposed to take place at the end of last year, were pushed back to the end of 2018. This week, UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations Jean-Pierre Lacroix told the General Assembly the refusal to compromise was delaying preparations for elections. Lacroix said the December 31, 2016 political agreement has only been partially implemented, but Martin Fayulu, a member of DRC's main opposition coalition known as the Rassemblement, says the opposition wants an interim government that will peacefully organize elections. And the battle lines are drawn between the police in Nigeria's Kaduna State and protesters led by the Nigeria Labour Congress over the dismissal of some 22,000 school teachers. The Kaduna State government has guaranteed 9 years of free basic education in its public schools and want qualified teachers to teach the students. And that's it for this Thursday, January 11th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Butte in Washington, wishing you a very good day.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA
VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.